Well, I had to double check because the thing is that I've discovered that the tech booth doesn't like me. Anytime I preach, we have tech problems. And so before I even get started, I just want to give a thanks for the gift of Stephen's confidence, because we had so many issues with tech this morning, getting everything fixed and going, and he just did an awesome job making sure that service continued to keep going. Yeah, let's give him a round of applause. Well, before I get started, I'm going to open us up in prayer. If you would join me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just, Lord, I thank you for St. John. Lord, I thank you for the many gifts you've entrusted each of us with, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the gifts of family, Lord, direct and extended, Lord. I thank you for the leadership in this church. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I pray that you fill this sanctuary with your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. I pray that you give me the words to speak. Lord, I pray that you open our ears to hear. Lord, I pray you open our hearts to receive whatever individual message each of us need to receive today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who you sent down to die for our sins. Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and it's in his most holy name I pray. Amen. All right, so a quick question here. Who prays? Who prays? Who prays? If you don't have your hand up, I'm assuming you still do. Whether here with us in person or at home, I'm assuming if you're sitting on your bed or on your couch watching this, you rose your hands too, say that you prayed. But I wonder, what do you pray for? What's the most common thing you pray for? Do you pray for a better job? Do you pray that your student makes a sports team or gets into a club or a college? Do you just pray for more money? I pray. I think I pray a decent amount. I pray happy prayers. I pray sad prayers. I pray angry prayers too. I've prayed prayers demanding God reveals himself to me. I remember one time during a very difficult event in my life, I screamed a prayer to God. See, I needed God to let me know that he was there for me. So what I was going to challenge him to do is he was going to give me the courage. He was going to give me the courage to go to this old fire tower over in Hendersonville, Indiana. Okay, and I'm scared of heights. And so this is what it looks like, okay, the fire tower. And if that looks fun to you and looks like it's exciting, my wife is a therapist, and she can help you work through that. So if you have that problem. So I said to God, you know, make your presence known, Lord. See, what I thought is I was going to give him an ultimatum. Here is the thing, God. You know I'm scared of heights. I know I'm scared of heights. So I'm talking to God, what you're going to do is you're going to give me the courage. You're going to give me the courage to drive up this hill, to step out of my car, to go to this tower and climb up it all the way and look out above the treetops. Those are not my pictures, I can tell you that. I told him, if you are truly, and I mean truly, there for me, give me the courage to do this. Give me the courage to climb to the very top of this tower. And so that's what I did. I drove up that hill, step one. I got out of my car, step two. I went to that tower, and I climbed, and I climbed, and I climbed, and I got about a quarter of the way up. That's about how far I got. And then I froze, and I sat down on the stairs, and I was angry with God. Why won't you show yourself to me? Why won't you let me know you're here? And then one of the most impactful things in my entire faith journey was there's this little girl, this big, maybe a little bit bigger than my Izzy if you've seen her running around. She's coming down the stairs with her parents. She asks, why can't I see Jesus up here? That day I was looking for proof of God's presence on my terms. But maybe I was missing the gifts he had already entrusted to me. the gifts, just like the gifts that he entrusted to the servants in today's parable. Maybe the first step is identifying the gifts we have already received, why we have been given these gifts, and how God expects us to use them. So here's the next question I have for you. What are the gifts God has entrusted to you? Really think about that. Maybe it's a specific skill. Maybe it's an opportunity to reach people that others couldn't. Maybe you have resources others don't. Maybe it's the ability to influence others, or maybe encourage people. Today's parable is the parable of the talents. In this parable, Christ answers the what, why, and how questions very clearly and very powerfully. He teaches us that our gifts are everything we have. Everything we have is entrusted to us by God. That's your money, that's your skills, that's your boldness, that's your time, that's your opportunities. Every single thing you have is because of God, not because of yourself. He teaches us that why we are given our gifts is for the advancement of his kingdom. How we are supposed to use them is faithfully and sacrificially for his glory and his purposes. And so as we explore this parable together, we will reflect on what it means to live as faithful stewards, evaluate how we are using the gifts, and be inspired to serve the Lord boldly and with joy, and a heart fixed on his purposes, his perfect plan. And so all throughout the Bible, God's kingdom is described as his rule and reign over his people and the world. It's over everything. In the parable of the talents, Jesus shows us what it means to serve him faithfully while we wait for his return. Living in God's kingdom means being good stewards of what he has given to us. Your time, your money, your skills, your opportunities, and the responsibilities that come with that. See, these gifts belong to him, and we are called to use them wisely for his purposes. Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven is both here now and still to come. This parable reminds us to be ready for his return, but it also to stay active to serve him in the meantime. It challenges us to ask questions. Questions like, how are we using what God has given us? So ask yourself that. How are you using what God has given to you? Are we investing in his kingdom? Or are you holding back? Are you fully investing into his kingdom? As we explore this parable, I want us to embrace the privilege, and the responsibility of being faithful of God's gifts. So a few things I want you to notice, to understand. The first is that God entrusts his gifts to us. I want to pause for a minute and define the word trust, or entrust. I like the definition, to put something into someone's care or protection. So these gifts that you've been entrusted to, you're responsible for caring for them, for protecting them. So God is entrusting you with something that belongs to him, right? It already belongs to him. The gifts he has given to you are already his. Your gift is caring for them. Does that make sense? Your gift is caring for the gifts he has entrusted to you because they're already his. So let's go back to the parable. The parable begins with a master entrusting his wealth to three servants before he embarks on a journey. And what scripture tells us is that to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another one, 1. To each according to his ability. Similarly, God has generously entrusted each and every one of us with gifts, skills, money, opportunities, boldness, based on our individual capacities. You know, another great area of scripture that we can turn to for this is Psalm 24, where it tells us the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, I want you to look at that closely and see that, what is it, third to last word, second to last word, everything. Okay? That doesn't say some things, it says everything in it is the Lord's. Okay? Everything in this earth is the Lord's. And so because everything is His, because He has entrusted us with these gifts, we are required to use them wisely. And that, some people may see this as like an option, and it's not. The first servant who received 5 talents invested them and doubled it. Okay, the second servant who received 2 talents did the same thing. He invested them and he doubled them. And so I think it's safe to assume those first 2 servants, they understood the assignment. Those first 2 servants, they knew what the expectations were of their master. But that third servant, what about him? The one who received 1 talent. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's safe to conclude he did not understand the assignment. That servant did not understand the expectations of his master. See, out of fear, he hides his talent. He digs a hole and he hides it in the ground, and he did absolutely nothing with what he was entrusted with. Faithfulness to God's kingdom means actively using your gifts for His purposes and for His glory. Actively. So you can't stand here and claim we surrender all to God while still believing you get to choose. You get to choose and have the right to decide how to use or not to use your talents. Some may choose this due to fear. Some may choose this due to selfish ambition. You want to reach certain goals before you can fully dedicate your gifts to His kingdom. Consider this. Consider Judas. He too was given gifts from God. Yet instead of using them for God's glory, he pursued his own desires. I think we all in here knows what happened to him. See, God's gifts, they're not to be hoarded, they're not to be wasted, they're not to be used for our own fleshly desires. They're meant to be used for His purposes and for His kingdom. And don't just take my word for it. I always tell them, test everything to Scripture. So let's see. Let's see what the master, how the master reacts to the servants when he returns. Because with these responsibilities needs to come accountability. And with that accountability will come reward. And so he responds to the first 2 servants in very similar fashion. What he says is, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master." Is there any greater dream, any greater prayer than to hear these words from our Heavenly Father? For me, there's not. But I can tell you what I don't want. I would never want to experience the nightmare that the third servant did. See, the master rebuked him. He rebuked him and he said, you know, he demanded he took that 1 talent that he dug in the ground and he give it over to the one who had 5 and doubled it. But it didn't stop there. Scripture tells us what the master did, what he did also, condemning him, saying, "And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness." These responses, they reveal an important truth about stewardship. Using our gifts faithfully not only brings reward, but it also grows our relationship with God. And when we're using these gifts, we're called to serve with trust. Serve with trust in His plan. Serve with trust in His purposes. And be bold when you're doing this. Don't be timid. God is with you. So we have to follow the example of the first two servants. You see, we don't get to decide how we will use our gifts. You don't get to decide how to use them. You are required to use them for his purposes. You're required to use them for his glory. You're required to use them for his kingdom, and you're required to use them for his plan. Those are the requirements. But that requires faith. That requires trust. And it requires a willingness to be fully obedient to God. So what does this mean for you as we move forward? You're going to need to recognize a few things. So first, recognize your gifts come from God. Everything you have came from God. Your money, your skills, your opportunities, your boldness, every single thing, your house, your car, you name it, it came from God. It's already his. Treat it as such. Treat it as his, and that you need to be caring for it and protecting it. Identify the gifts God has given you and recognize these do not belong to you, they belong to him. And then, you got to use your gifts for God's glory. That isn't a suggestion. Got to use them for God's glory. Has anyone ever borrowed your parents' car, even if you were younger? You know, and sometimes a kid, they borrow their parents' car, right? And they think they can do whatever they want with it once they get behind that wheel. But you're wrong. That's your parents' car. They make the rules in that car. And so if you decide just to go do whatever you want with it, the parent can ultimately take that car, right? And do you know, just as easy as that parent can take that car from you, if you're choosing not to use your gifts or to withhold your gifts, God's gifts, to you, to advance his kingdom, he can just as easily, just as quickly pluck those gifts right from you. He can take every single thing you have if you choose not to use those for his purposes. Identify the gifts you are not using to glorify him. Identify those. Be held accountable. So this one in particular, when I was working on this sermon, really stood out for me. I felt very convicted of it. See, when I started thinking about it, I'm writing this, I'm like, be held accountable. I'm like, wait, here's our bank account. Am I really giving as much as we could give? Is that what I'm doing? I look at my time and I'm like, am I really dedicating enough time to my children for their advancement, for the advancement of the kingdom? Am I dedicating enough time to that? Or am I too busy working out, lifting weights, instead of being down in the gym and shooting basketball with my son when I could be sharing more of the gospel with him down there? What am I choosing to do? Am I choosing to just ignore the skills I have instead of using them to help the church, to help the community? So my question for you on this is, when was the last time you held yourself accountable for good stewardship of your gifts? True accountability? I can say, I have this week. But before this week, if I'm honest, I don't know what I can say. I truly, truly held myself accountable. Better yet, when's the last time you allowed a brother or sister in Christ to hold you accountable? It's one thing holding yourself accountable, but allowing them to hold you accountable? If you're honest with yourself, are you faithfully using your time? Are you faithfully using your money, your abilities for his glory? Because see, we can come in here when everything's done and talk about, you know, all the great things we did with our gifts. We can go out to the lobby and talk about it too. We can go to lunch. You can come over to my house. We can talk about it. We can keep fooling each other all day long. But you can't fool God. God knows if you are using your gifts for his kingdom or not. He knows if you're caring for them. You know, this, I didn't mention this the first time, but my wife is sitting up here. She's holding this beautiful baby of some of her closest friends. But I guarantee you, Jay is Emerson's dad, right? And that wasn't a question. I know no, he is. And I guarantee you that if he looked over and saw that Tabitha wasn't caring for her the way she needed to, he would grab her in a heartbeat. He would grab her in a heartbeat. And just like that, God will grab our gifts. If you don't want to advance his kingdom, if you don't want to care for something precious to him, he's going to take it, give it to someone else. Set a goal to be a better steward of one of your gifts and set up accountability measures. And when you do this, serve boldly. Serve with joy. See, the first two servants displayed for us how we should serve. How we should serve boldly, how we should serve with joy to increase the kingdom of God. We must be faithful and trust in his plan. We have to allow ourselves to be fearless through him. You should fear nothing when God is with you. This week, I want you to pick a gift. You can pick multiple, but pick one. To choose to use boldly that you've kept reserved for his glory. Maybe it's money, and you're like, well, I got to kind of save this money. Because, you know, what if a tsunami hits Kentucky, you know, and then I need money to buy my brand new car, my new house, or something like that. Maybe it's your time. Maybe you feel like you've given enough time to the church. You've been in Scripture enough today. But were you in Scripture with your wife? Were you in Scripture with your kids? Or your brother or your sister? Have you prayed? Choose one that you've kept reserved and use it for his glory this week. C.S. Lewis once said, he said, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. Do you have anything to spare? Do you have plenty of time? Give more than you can spare. I'm not going to ask, but I have a feeling if I asked who actually gives more than you can spare, we'd have very few hands in the air. Some of you might. But give more than you can spare because it's for his kingdom. It's for something much greater than you, than me, than everyone in here. At the beginning of the sermon, I asked you if you prayed. Are you wondering why he won't let you accomplish what you want to? Are you wondering why you can't see Jesus? Are you too concerned with the prayers for your desires? Are you too concerned with climbing that man-made tower to see how he's given you so much already? See, God doesn't need to prove himself to us. He's already done it time and time again. True question is, are you being faithful to what he has entrusted you with? Has he entrusted you with an abundance of monetary riches? Riches that you can choose to use for his kingdom or not. Just like you can choose to trust the individual on the corner with a few bucks to feed himself. But what kind of example does that set? Who would give someone something not knowing if they would use it with the purposes you intended it for? Who would do something like that? Has he provided you unique opportunities to speak to people about his kingdom? A simple yet powerful message that could save their eternity. But I mean, if there was someone you know dying of cancer that you knew about a cure for, you wouldn't tell them about that either, right? It would be too intimidating to talk about something that sounds too good to be true. Why would getting past intimidation really be worth saving their lives? Has he provided you with a boldness? A boldness to stand up for what you believe? You know, if that's your gift, I bet it's really easy to stand up for what you believe when you're getting all kinds, when all your followers are liking all your stuff and giving you positive comments. I bet it's really easy to stand up for what you believe in then. But what about when those followers betray you for their own selfish ambitions? What about when your friends deny you three times? Who would ever carry a cross like that? The parable of the talents teach us teaches us to rethink how we view our gifts, the opportunities, and the responsibilities we have that come with them. It reminds us that we are not owners of our gifts. We are stewards of what God has entrusted to you, what God has told you to care for and to protect. Living as faithful stewards means using what we have, however great, however small it is, to serve God's purposes, to bless others, and to advance His kingdom. So today, as we reflect on this parable, let us commit to faithfully using what God has entrusted to us. Not out of fear, not out of obligation, but out of gratitude, joy, and the desire to hear these words: "Well done, good and faithful servant." Heavenly Father, thank you for the incredible gifts you have entrusted us. Help us to live as faithful stewards, using our talents, our resources, the opportunities, Lord, for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. Lord, forgive us for the moments of fear, Lord, and complacency, and for when we choose to pursue our own selfish ambitions, Lord, instead of focusing on you. Lord, may everything we do honor you. Lord, may everything we do bless those around us. May we always give the glory to you, Lord. It's in your Son's holy name I pray.
If you would please stand for our closing song.
Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high.
Bless your
as you go out today, remember all things you have are gifts from God. May you live as faithful stewards, using your talents, resources, and time for his kingdom. And may you long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."